Welcome to the Mum Break Podcast, a place where you can feel normal, get helpful information, and laugh your ass off. Hopefully without peeing your pants. I'm your host, Erica, and I have two kiddos. I am not a mom expert, but I do have a zillion hours of therapy under my belt and no filter. I'm on my own journey to find happiness, and I want to help you on the way to yours. This season of the Mum Break Podcast is brought to you by Bathorium, Canada's favorite clean and green beauty bath products. They make all natural bath bombs, bath soaks, bubble baths, and accessories with no artificial fragrances or toxins. And they're vegan and ethically produced. To get 15% off, go to mumbreak.ca/bath.
Oh, you're on mute. I can't hear you.
Hi. No, I know. I was not speaking.
Oh, you were just like waving like excitedly.
Yes, I was like, ah.
Oh, I'm so happy.
Good morning.
Good evening.
No, I'm so excited. So excited. I like full disclosure. I obviously read through all your instruction and I was like, oh, she's going to take a picture. Haven't worn makeup for fully like 365 days. And I was like, nobody knows me. I don't have a following. Like, I was like, oh my God. I was like, but of course, because being me and being your friend, I like 10 minutes ago, like set everything up, like previewed, made sure my sound was good. And I was like, I can't do this without any makeup on.
It's okay. I'm in a fucking onesie. So
you look super comfortable. I mean, I have no bra on.
Oh, that's good. I do. I was sad about it.
So I just got back to Singapore. So I've been doing more family stuff and sometimes that involves me leaving the house. And I'm like, why do I have to wear a bra? It is but a social construct. I mean, like, I don't need support. Like, I don't really have, like, I got no boobs. Like,
no, but still, it's like you've conditioned to have them strapped in regardless of how big or small they are. I don't know.
No, I'm very happy just letting them hang.
Letting them free flow.
The only time is like when you get like under boob sweat. And I'm like,
See, I'm not a sweaty person. You'd think I would, like, I get red. This is my difference. I turn like super bright red, but I don't get sweaty, which is really weird considering you think of all the years of sports I would, right? But no, it's a gift. One of my few gifts that I've got.
I'm a disgusting, like sweaty I person. Sweat, like I'll start sweating when we talk.
Really?
Yeah. Well, because like I talk with my hands and I get really excited. And then I watch things I'm exercising and I'm like, no, just talking emphatically. How are you?
Oh, you know, fine.
I know. I mean,
how are you?
I follow you. I'm pretty good.
Like changed finally every made day it in home. Your life. Yeah.
Oh, God, I know. I like didn't intend to explode my life when the world exploded, but I why did not? That. I mean, a lot less focus on me, like a lot less people care about what I'm doing with my life now because they're, you know, busy trying to put out fires in theirs.
That's nice.
Works out.
That's good.
Yeah. I'm back in school, but.
Okay, well, that's good for you though. Like I know, but it's your jam. Don't kid yourself. Oh, you're going to be such a healthy mentally person.
I would think so. I feel like maybe too much jokes. I feel like I make too much fun of mental health.
It's okay.
Often.
School will beat that out of you.
No, my teachers are the same.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Well, I think now in this day and age though, right? With mental health, like you have to bring like lightness to the situation at times. It's just too much if not, right? So yeah, they have encouraged that.
That's good though. Cause like, okay, it's so funny because I'm sure you've already been, I feel like your stages of like dealing with this are probably like a couple months ahead of mine. But right now I'm like, I can't reconcile the fact that this is the world. I'm like looking at the news. I'm like, okay, there's this and there's this and there's this and there's this. I'm like, what do I care about? I'm like, I care about it all, but I can't. And I don't have the capacity to do it. And you physically can't. And then you feel shitty about not. And you're like, no, I'm just surviving here. Like, we put on.
No, I think it's, I mean, honestly, I know you're recording this, but you know, it's way worse because you live in white people land.
We're
be honest. No, because culturally it's completely different, right? Like in, I can't speak for all of Asia, but the Asia that I have lived in, be it Singapore, Hong Kong, and China, it's very different what drives them to avoid COVID. Like, so for in Singapore, it's the fear of like, it's really FOMO. So it's like, if everyone's wearing a mask, I have to wear a mask. So like, I don't lose out. So it's a little bit like, and then there's a bit of like big brother government that's like, well, you gotta wear a mask. In Hong Kong, it's a complete, how do I put this? It's just the norm, because Hong Kong was the hardest hit by SARS back in 2003.
So everyone's already adapted.
Yeah, so like
the mask, let's get out the masks from last decade.
No, not even. So since then, so every office I've worked in, you know, every office has a first aid kit, right? The first aid kit has a box of masks, surgical masks next to it. So like if you come into the office with a runny nose or if you're not feeling well, it's very, like it's second nature for someone in Hong Kong to put on a mask.
That's so interesting.
It's really interesting because I don't, it's not like that in Singapore and it's not as big in China. I mean, I was in China for a year, like in Shanghai. So that's, I can't say I know that much about how work culture is, but yeah, in Hong Kong, it's very like people have masks at home. Like that's just how they live life.
So interesting. Yeah, it's so different than here, whereas it's like half the people are like, yes, let's put on the mask so that we protect everybody. And the other half are like, we can't put on the mask because you're taking away our civil rights. Like, I'm like, I want to go.
I know, it's so hard. I know. And that's the thing, right? I think it's so funny. Well, I mean, because I don't personally know any anti-maskers. Because everyone
in like North America, you mean?
Yeah, like I don't know.
No, but you wouldn't know, because you also have like the people who you know in North America are, I don't even want to go there, but
are probably highly educated and are living in a city.
They're living in like a very metro. I can't talk metro. You know
what I got it. No, no, it's really
like
hard.
A big major hub, right? Like which are actually, I think of Montreal, metropolitans. Yes.
Yeah.
Struggling, but like think about like Montreal as an example, because my brother's still in Montreal. He's been in Montreal throughout all this, and it's just like basically they're just like locked in the island.
I know, but that
whatever. But
and I think the deterrence though is bigger in Asia, right? Because if you're locked in, you're locked in like an apartment.
This like, is the thing. No, like outside, you've been in apartments
my entire life, pretty much my entire COVID. No, exactly. I mean. And that's the thing, right? So like
right there.
I think that's what motivates people in Asia to be like, I want to be no COVID so I can leave my house.
Because do you know anybody who actually doesn't live in an apartment in any of the
cities? In Singapore, apartments are more Singapore, common. Yes.
Oh, but Singapore, yes, but yes. Not in Hong Kong, I'm assuming.
Actually, I do. I have rich friends.
Oh, yeah, it's true. Okay, so I guess since we're recording already anyways, I should tell people about how we know each other, because there's that. We're just jumping right into things. I made a summary. So, yes, I'm in school and she wrote a summary. You do the summary because you've done the time to do the notes. I've done the notes.
It's one sentence. Oh. I said we met while we were at Carlton, together. Yeah. And we bonded over pizza rolls and mental health.
Those pizza rolls are still a thing with my friends. I'm not even kidding.
That's amazing.
They're famous with my friends.
I've literally made them once, Erica, and I made them for you.
And I'm like your pizza roll Canadian friend. But yes, over pizza rolls, mental health, and like our eternal, because we were also the older ones in school, because we had like jumped around in majors and schools a bunch, both of us. So we're like, okay, let's
forever school.
I think you were in this class. I don't remember if you were or not, but I was in a group project on my 21st birthday. And I was like, let's go out for a drink. And a bunch of them were like, oh, we're not old enough to drink. And of course, like Canada's like 19, right? I'm like, oh. But at that time, it seems like a big thing. And it seems like a big deal because those like two or three extra years of life experience at that point make it.
It's true. Yeah, it's true.
Pizza rolls, mental health. And yeah, school. And also, and then now you're like, since Crazy Rich Asians came out, you're like my token rich friend from Asia.
It's so funny because, you know, I really leaned into that identifier. Yeah. right this year because
why not?
I mean, you know, like I have to, you know, everyone's acknowledging their privilege and then I'm acknowledging mine, right? Mm-hmm. I literally haven't worked the entire year of 2020. Mm-hmm. I quit my job. I meant to take some time off. Ended up deciding to do a master's, which, you know, I could work while doing it. Was like, man, it's not. I mean, all of that was privilege. Working through my mental health with a therapist is privilege. It's really, really expensive. So expensive. That's so good. Like,
cool. I love it so much, but it's just so expensive.
So expensive.
Especially when, like, you get
this program.
Yeah.
This program I'm taking is so expensive, but my daddy's paying for it.
There you go. You're leaning right into it. It's great.
Well, I mean,
why not?
What, you know, I mean, honestly, like the job I was doing, like I could never pay for school with my job. And I worked so hard at my job and it was killing me.
You had insane hours. Actually, I know this is not COVID related, but it was also very cool the life you were living, like just in terms of your job. But you're basically getting paid nothing to do like 18-hour days. Mm-hmm. But you were at a couple really high-end designers. Who are you with? You're with Gucci and...
And Versace. I really only had two jobs.
No big deal.
No, but so, and I think everyone has, I mean, everyone in my industry that I know, like we all know how life is pretty shit. But I mean, I think people don't realize how crazy it is. Like they're really underpaid. I mean, there's a reason why I left, right? I can't save an industry. I would love to. But it's really, there's so much consumption in this world, right? Like, you know, mm-hmm. you don't even talk about the Amazons, but anything, right? Like any business now is like consumption, consumption, consumption. But there's a limit, right? Like, I think the world is showing us that it's, I sound like a hippie now, right? Because I'm like, the world is showing us it's hurting. But I think like the idea of being sustainable is way more accessible now than it was like 5 years ago, right? Like 5 years ago, my idea was like those, I mean, no offense, but like very impressive, but kind of crazy people who like were like, look at my mason jar of my waste that I only, this is all my waste in 365 days. Oh, and I was like, well, that's not possible, right? Like, I think that was like, that was the first rise of the, you know, reduce, reuse, recycle, like your no waste supermarkets and like stuff that's very more Western focused. Mm-hmm. And then I think now there's like a big, like a huge market and like either influencers or, you know, brands and small startups that are really promoting not so much like no waste, but like low waste and like mm-hmm. being very open about, like, for example, for me, like I'm a germaphobe. Like you, I feel like you know this about me. Like I wipe down, like, but pre-COVID, I wiped down everything.
You were always a germaphobe. You were like, I was a person in university who was like, I don't give a fuck. And you're just like, Erica, that's gross. Wipe this seat down and germs.
Germ. Correct. So, you know, for me, like I love the idea of a reusable mask, but I can't, like,
get over it.
I mean, I also am a person with super high anxiety. So there's no point like triggering my anxiety to save the environment. Cause then I'm just going to die.
Yeah. Really.
So, you know, but I think like, that's what's great now is that there are a lot of people who are like, you know, you work with what you can, which is like, so I bring my tote bags to buy groceries and I feel a little bit better about that. I try and now because you can research brands, right? So you can try and work with brands, and like especially with COVID has shown everyone how important buying local is. Thank God for that. Yeah, but you've always championed like local Ottawa businesses anyway.
I try, but I think there's a balance, right? Because there is how do I put this? I think there's something to be said. It's same to your mason jar point, right? Like I don't think it's sustainable as people in Ottawa, Canada, to like exclusively from a budget standpoint, to be like, everybody has to shop local because not everyone has the same budget. Not everyone has the same means. Not everyone has everything. So it's like this fine line of finding people who are awesome, who I really, really like and want to champion. And be like, okay, now I just, you know what? Sorry. I have to just go on Amazon and order this and it's coming.
Correct. And there's nothing wrong with that, right? It's just like, I feel like, you know, and even for you, because your market is not just Canada. If you're championing only Ottawa businesses, like doesn't I can't really help and I can't support them that much.
Exactly.
But you know, sometimes I want something that you have, even though I have no children. I'm like, oh, that's cool. I want to buy that. And like, if Amazon's the easiest way, I mean, that's the thing. I think that's what's great. I think now is that in general, like with the prevalence of mental health becoming important, people realizing that nothing in life is really binary, even though I don't know why all of us did figure this out earlier, is that there's no like right, absolute right and absolute wrong. I mean, I've been working in therapy for like in this like not gray area thinking for like 5 years now, and it's not easy. But yeah, it's that idea of doing what you can, not beating yourself up about it.
I love how enlightened you are. Like, and again, because we kind of bonded over, well, you are relative to like the world that you grew up in. Like, I think compared to like Western cultures, you're actually kind of not at all. You're just sort of
I'm
like,
very uptight.
Probably still even a little bit, but like, just, but relative to like the world that you grew up in, right? Like this, the fact that you're like now in your 30s being like, I'm going to go and do, you know, change my career altogether.
Yeah.
Is huge. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I'm proud of me too, to be honest.
It's a good fit for you.
Oh, I don't know why I never, but I think like, you know, a lot of people are like, oh my God, like that'd be great. And I, you know, not to toot my own horn, but you've got to learn to like embrace what you think you're good at. And I was like, oh, I actually think this would be good for me. Then of course you like think like, why didn't I do this before? But again, this is where the new hippie Kaylee comes in, where I'm like, I had to get there. I had to go through what I went through.
But you, and this is where I am like now. The pressure of like family and culture, in that like you had this pressure to go like to a fancy school and to do all the fancy degrees and to cut more. I remember you telling me once being like, well, we all have to go to Queens, or we all have to go to like Carleton's like,
oh God, yeah,
like the dumpster school basically, compared to
except
like
it really wasn't.
No, it's it's, I mean, it depends on what you're trying to do with it, right? But it's a perception that certain people have. I loved Carleton.
For sure. I loved Carleton. I made four friends. Three, actually.
Who are your other friends?
Three friends. Do you remember Dave?
Yes, you still talk to him?
No, but oh, I mean,
okay. I saw him on Facebook friend. The other day. He was our accounting whatever.
TA.
Yeah, and he was younger than both
Except
of us.
He was like 5 years younger than us.
Hey, Dave.
No, so he, when I eventually left Ottawa, he had just like graduated or something and got a job and got an apartment. So he took a lot of my furniture.
Oh, that's convenient.
Yeah. And Natasha, I don't know if you ever met Natasha.
I do remember her. She was poli something. Was she poli sci or something?
No, she was full economics. Yeah.
Economics. Okay. Yeah. She was really smart.
Yeah. Super smart. I made smart friends. I only needed three. And then all I did was like live in my apartment, go to Baskin Robbins, Tim Hortons, A&W.
How is that different from now?
Now, way less fast food.
Oh yeah, that's true. Well, yeah, but you wouldn't have access to all that shit in like.
Oh yeah, you do. Oh God, junk food in Asia is really great. We have like in a way better McDonald's. No, like in a grosser way. Like,
oh really?
There is, and I think this is obviously like, I feel like a more Asian. It's a so like if you think of the McChicken, right, which is your standard McDonald's fare. But what they do is like they deep fry it, so it's crispy on the outside and it's spicy.
Yeah.
And it's called the McSpicy, and it is the grossest and most delicious.
Oh, I'm so hungry now.
McDonald's burger. I'm sorry. I had a really big dinner, so I'm like running on like lots of dinner fumes. But yes, the McSpicy is delicious, but also makes you poop.
Yeah, I'm realizing more and more now as I get older, I'm like, I need to be careful what I eat because stuff just runs through me in a way that but when I was younger, it did, but I didn't care. I bounced back quicker.
No,
now, like I gotta.
It's different now.
Yeah,
I started taking probiotics.
Yeah, well, you're hippie now. That makes sense.
No, it's not even because kidding. I turned into a hippie. I wish it was, but it was like, I was so stressed at work. Stomach. Yeah, I was so stressed at work. I was like, I mean, you are not a filtered person. That's why we're friends. But I literally was pooping. Anytime I ate, I would poop. And it wasn't like, it wasn't like agreeing with me. Any food. Like I could eat the healthiest. Yeah. And it was terrible. It was like, you know, people are like, do you have IBS? And I was like, I've always been an anxious person. And it was like, it was a little bit mental and I'm sure physical. And whether probiotics work or not, or if it's a placebo effect on my brain,
it worked
exactly. But also I feel like my gut health does, you can feel it, you know, it really sounds so hippie. I think because, I don't know if you feel this way, because I've been trying to pinpoint this. I don't know. I think for me, it's because I used to be a sports person as well. So you're very in tune with your physical body, right? Because with injuries, with, you know, like rehab and like, you know, I know my weaknesses physically, I know my strengths physically. And I think that for me, as I've gotten older, has evolved into like, okay, now I know what's wrong with me outside, creaky knees, I can't walk without pain. That's just, I can't live life. Mm-hmm. But then now it's like, what's inside? And it's like taking care of, you know, getting my vegetables in. And I love vegetables, but sometimes like, I live alone, right? I cook for one. It's really annoying to try and be like, let's make a veggie dish, then let's make some protein.
Yeah, it's a lot of work.
Carbs, and then like, it's a lot of work for one person. So, you know, it's, and I realized maybe a couple of years ago where I was just like not eating any protein because it was just too annoying to cook meat. And then I would crave meat and be like, what's going on there? So having to consciously be like, oh, let's be careful about what I'm putting in. I'm not healthy by any means, but I know that like, if I'm going to be eating, for me, the difference is eating out and eating at home. So I don't cook particularly healthy food at home, but.
Oh, but it's good. Looks good.
Oh. Thanks. It's delicious. And I like, I'm not afraid of fat or butter or oil. I just like throw it all in, cheese, whatever, lactose intolerant, who cares? But no matter what, like I find even if I cook the most like dirty, that sounds terrible, but the grossest food I want at home, like literally cheese pulls till the end of time, like I still feel better than when I eat outside. You're going to be so hungry.
100%. I don't know. I am so hungry. I'm like thinking in my fridge, what we have, we don't even have milk. We don't have cheese. We have literally nothing. We're at the end of our grocery cycle right now.
Oh no.
I'm just too lazy to go. We have, actually, do actually have salami left over from charcuterie from the Christmas. I spent like $150 at Costco on charcuterie stuff to get over
the. Charcuterie is the best because that one lasts forever.
It's easy.
And it like so satisfying.
Yes.
But also sad thing about being an adult now, when I eat salami late at night, the next morning I like have sausage fingers.
Oh.
Like I've turned into charcuterie. Like the water retention is like intense. Ugh.
Dude, what happened to us?
I know. It's really funny because as a Chinese person who like clearly, as we talked about, like still relies a lot on their family, like, and they treat me like a child and they're just like, you can't, you're not, you know, I'm like fully 33, right? I'm turning 34 this year. And like, they're, I'm like, I'm actually an adult, right? Like by any other standard in the world, I'm an adult. So actually maybe you should start acting like one. Not really. I don't really
also
care, but it's
funny. Lived in like one of the most expensive cities and live in like the most expensive cities in the world.
Oh God, I know.
Like you can't. So looking at like Hong Kong, like really, you can't. You just can't.
No.
You have to, you'd be fine if you went off and like moved to like cheapo Ottawa by comparison, right? But
yeah,
so it's all relative.
I mean, I miss Ottawa. Ottawa's fun.
Do you really?
It was fun. I had fun. I do. It was like a quieter life.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss, I mean, I used to come back to Canada at least once a year. I mean, I love Canada. It's like where I come to decompress.
It's so true. Okay, I want to talk about your, because it's been almost a full year that you've been in lockdown now.
Yeah.
What's your like lockdown like anniversary date?
I don't know. I was thinking about this because I was like, I need to like, you know, we're getting old and can't remember things. But COVID actually was like, it started being a thing in China. So last year, the full 2019 leading up to 2020, I had just moved to Shanghai. So I was in Shanghai for the year of 2019. And the end of 2019 is when COVID started becoming news in, I want to say, like, I'm sure it was in world news, but definitely not in the headlines.
No, not in Canada. We don't see anything.
No. I mean, it's probably at the bottom. No one cares about like mysterious illness in China.
Just like another one, whatever.
But then I think it became a lot more serious. So I was traveling because Christmas is big for me. So I come home for Christmas. Home for me and where my family is Singapore. And I was in Hong Kong before that. This is going to be so confusing for people. I know, but I was in Shanghai. I went home for Christmas and then I went back to work because Christmas is not an official vacation or a holiday in China. So I took leave, came back to Shanghai, started working, and then Chinese New Year is a big holiday. So I had vacation. And so I was going home. And that's when like it really like shit hit the fan in China, where they locked down like the city of Wuhan, which is where they believe the virus to have originated. And it was fine for me because I had left Shanghai where I was, really wasn't affected. Like they were getting like one case a day, two cases a day. I mean, the China government virtually just, you know, shut down their borders for the affected region. Mm-hmm. And didn't let anyone in and out. And so it was actually great for me. So I ended up staying in Singapore for about a month because we were working from home in February because everything was shut. And then because I had already quit my job and I was serving notice, I had to go back to Shanghai eventually and, you know, pack my apartment.
Collect everything up.
Yeah, collect everything, finish my last dregs of work, which ended up being really hectic, even though nothing, I mean, so more backstory, I used to work at Versace, I was a buyer. And so we were working in retail and because China, everything was shut. So yeah. You would think there was no work, but I mean, there's always work.
No, it never has.
No, and the Italians were like, whatever, it's just a virus in China. So you got to, you know, you still have to do your stuff. And then, so I extended my stay in Singapore for as long as my visa would allow me to. And then I was like, I gotta go back, pack my stuff and leave China. So I did 14 days in my Shanghai apartment, which was my first quarantine.
Number one.
Which was fairly relaxed because at that point, so there are 28 million people in Shanghai. And when I landed in Shanghai, COVID having been a thing for like maybe 3 months in China, there were like 200 cases in Shanghai. So, you know, everyone was masked, like this was like way before COVID testing, right? So it mm-hmm. was just like, you know, fewer people traveling. Quarantine was not as strict as people because it's very like based on what province you're in, and Shanghai really wasn't serious. So it's more enforced in your neighborhood. For me, it was mostly my office. My office, like if you get like my office building wasn't letting anyone in.
Unless you had, okay.
So like the building management was like, if you have been away for like, you know, stay away for 14 days before coming in. So it was a little bit more of a, like a private situation. So like my office, you know, I was in quarantine, my neighborhood, like watch, like they had a temperature like form that I had to submit every day. So it was just like they would send
like
me a text
virtual thing kind of. Yeah.
Yeah. It was on my phone. Everything was super easy. And it was very nice. I mean, like China is like, I loved China. Like people don't understand my secret. Now this is going to go on the internet for the world, but like, I think like they just don't want people to know how good it is in China. So like everything is in your phone. You've got an e-wallet that is like, even the like guy who is roasting peanuts on the side of the road takes electronic money. I got like, I had a friend, my friend, my colleague at work was like, oh, Kaylee, don't drink the tap water, even though you filter it because they're adding more chlorine, right, to disinfect it. And she was like, just buy a carton of water. And I literally got to my house in 12 hours. Like it just, this guy shows up, you know, it's great. Like anything you want. Like I had no problems with the quarantine. Again, very introverted person, social anxiety, don't like being around people. So it was great for me. For the, you know, the first 14 days, and, you know, I was like winding down my job. And so there, you know, I was
a
busy.
Lot of life changes.
Yeah. It was, you know, there were a lot of other things that were taking precedence over like the idea of COVID. Like I was worried and I was taking precautions, but you know, it seemed like a quote unquote China problem at that point. Right.
Cause yeah. At that point, then you're talking about February. So really like, it hadn't become, it was just starting to become a global pandemic as opposed
to, like, it was like, I think when I had left Singapore to go back to Shanghai, that was when like cases were coming in. Like, so I was being discriminated against in Singapore. So my sister had a baby and I couldn't go to the hospital because I had been to China. So I met the baby after. And so that was when people were like not letting China people in. I went back to China and I was there for about 3 weeks, I think. So I had 2 weeks of quarantine, or even a month. And 2 weeks of quarantine, went back to work for a week. This is a funny story I'll tell you later because it's too long and there's nothing to do with COVID. but I had my last day, which by the way, worked till 10 p.m. on my last day of work. Didn't even have time to do an exit interview with HR. So I came back the next week to do an exit interview with HR. So I had to say, had to give my notes. But, and then I moved back to Hong Kong because as much as my family's in Singapore, I have no right of abode in Singapore. I'm a full-fledged foreigner. So I couldn't go home to Singapore. But my family has lived in Hong Kong for a long time. So we have residency there. So I moved back to Hong Kong, and that's when it was like really, like for me, that was the most surreal because I took, like the Shanghai airport is, you know, one of the busiest airports in the world. The day I flew, my flight was the only flight flying.
That's insane.
Like the, you know, like the airport, like flight board was full, right? But literally everything was canceled and there was like one flight. And, you know, at that point, China was already shut for so long. So, you know, they got the pick, you know, don't open anything. There were more people working at the airport. Like I saw nobody from the time I got off my car to go check in, like other than the staff I had to interact with, like to check in, drop off my bags, not a single soul.
That's insane. That must have been the weirdest thing ever.
So creepy. And it was like a late night flight. Like it was a 7 p.m. flight. So like there was, it was late-ish, right?
Yeah.
And I think that if this is useful for your listeners, the year leading up to COVID, in 52 weeks of a year, I took over 60 flights. So I live in airports. They're my comfort zone.
They are.
And I was like, why there's nobody in the airport? None of the shops were open. There was literally only enough light to guide you to where you had to go. The airport lounge was open, thank God, but I went in and there was nobody.
That's so weird.
I was like, this is like the beginning of a horror movie. Like, yeah, it really is.
Was this in?
So this was fully in March.
Yeah.
Yeah. So there was nobody. And it, you know, with COVID regulations, my flight ended up being delayed like 4 hours. It was just the way the Shanghai airport was working back then was that they weren't deplaning people because they were still planes of like, there were still a significant number of people flying into China, I think, like coming back after Chinese New Year, just people were flying in. And so they were not letting, you know, like a plane full of people get off. So they were deplaning people, like 10 people at a time. So it was taking them hours. So it
took forever.
And it took forever to get people off my flight that I was getting onto. And then they had to, you know, deep clean it and then board us. So I was at the airport for like, and I'm not, I mean, I get to the airport in a normal amount of time before my flight, but I think I waited like maybe almost 4 to 5 hours at the airport before I finally took off. I made friends with the one other passenger I saw in the lounge.
You're like, hey, a person, then, let's go talk to them.
I know. And I mean, like the routes I usually fly, like, you know, Shanghai to Hong Kong is super popular. Hong Kong to Singapore is super popular. I was the only person in my section of the plane.
Yeah. I remember seeing that on Instagram. I was like, or I've seen that a couple times on Instagram.
Yes. No. Two times. The two times I've flown in 2020.
I was like, this is insane.
But I had like a very, like the closest I've come to having like a real panic attack in the last like 10 years, because, you know, I've tried to keep a fairly healthy mental state, was when, so this is when Hong Kong started implementing, they were considering tracking people, but they hadn't really like fine-tuned how they were tracking, and they were literally putting like jail bracelets on people, you know, like a huge plastic chunk with like a rubber strap, like literally the size of like a fist on your wrist. And I like, that was the thing that broke my brain.
Yeah.
I like called my therapist. I was like, I land tomorrow. I need to have a session with you like the day after or like as soon as possible.
Now, please.
I don't know if I will have, you know, lost my marbles in 48 hours. Thankfully, they hadn't implemented this. They like still working through the kinks. So because I didn't really come from a high risk area in China, they didn't. They had to track me. Like I had to, like they had to call me and FaceTime me and prove I was home and I wasn't allowed to leave my house. And I signed like a like government form. And it was, I mean, I'm a big rule follower, so I wasn't gonna leave my house. And it's my apartment, like it's my home, right? So it wasn't a foreign area for me, a foreign place, but it was very difficult actually to get food that time in Hong Kong. Cause that's when everyone's panic buying and like toilet paper and the supermarkets weren't, you know, and I think that's normal. Like if a supermarket couldn't deliver food in like within a week, like it was like, if I landed on Monday, I couldn't get a slot till the next Monday. But the problem was I hadn't lived in my Hong Kong apartment for like a full year. There was no food. Maybe like instant noodles. Right?
Because your family was in Singapore.
Yeah. And because of COVID my family hadn't traveled to Hong Kong recently. So, you know, there was no way no one's been there. So I was very lucky to have like really good friends and like family friends who like dropped off groceries at my door. And then the plan during my life sabbatical was to go home and spend time with my family. My parents are 71. If they hear this one day, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I've revealed your age, but you know, they're getting older. My sister had a baby. I kind of, you know, I got the chance to, you know, I was again leaning into my privilege and not really needing my salary, which was shit anyway. I wanted to spend time with them because I love them.
That makes sense.
But I was stuck in Hong Kong. Like they weren't letting people into Singapore. And so I got to Hong Kong in March. So from March to December, I was just in Hong Kong. I kept busy. I never left my house, but I kept busy. I did leave my house to go to yoga because studios were open in Hong Kong. And there's literally a studio, like not even 50 meters from my front door. Like it was like a 1 minute walk. And I was like, and it was like a gym membership I had bought in China the year before, like in Shanghai the year before. And I had paid for it for the year. So I was
might as well.
I was like, I'm not making any money now. I already spent this money. Let's get it back by going.
One good thing.
But also, you know, as my therapist has told me over the years that, you know, exercise is really good for you. I never listened to her. And I feel like that's also a habit that you and I share.
Better when we exercise and we know.
But it's so good. Much better.
So much. Like
but
I'm
it's
really
hard.
It is so hard. I'm like the happy, way happier, way nicer person when I'm exercising or moving. Like not even exercising to the level that we think we should. I like just need to walk around the block and I'm a happier person.
That's yeah, it. For but sure.
It's hard to
do. And I mean, like my therapist used to try and tell me this when I was like at peak, like burnout at work. Yeah. And she's like, you just need to like go, you know, like 20 minutes, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Do 10 minutes of, I'm like, no, I don't have time. There's and then I do it. I'm like, oh, I feel a lot better. She's like, I told you. And I was like, I know.
Now you
I
mean, I know. Tell people that someday.
I know. I'm so excited. It's literally one of the first things we learned in school. Like one of it was like coping mechanisms for stress is like exercise. And I was like, people are going to hate me.
You're like this son is, of a bitch.
Exactly. I was like, this is why, it's not that I resent my therapist for saying that, but you know, like when people tell you and you know, and you're like, you know, but
it's annoying.
It's not a priority. Yeah.
It happens to moms all the time. It's
trying,
like this shit.
Because you're trying to stay alive.
Yeah.
You're trying to stay alive and it feels very indulgent. I mean, I see it in my sister now too, right? It feels indulgent to like take even half an hour of your day for something that's yours.
That I've like, actually scheduled like blocked off an hour a day of work, like literally put it in my calendar so people can't book time with me to exercise every day. And I feel like so indulgent and like the biggest tool for doing it. But I'm like, I won't do it. I feel guilty about it.
Makes you so much better. It makes you a better mom, makes you a better worker too.
Yeah, I'm so much more productive. It's crazy.
It's really funny. Like, but I also think because, well, I can't speak about Canadian work culture because I think it's possibly very different, but in Asian work culture, it's not encouraged, right? Like no one talks about work-life balance. It's not a thing. I mean, people die in crazier parts of Asia, like Japan and Korea and China, where like you're expected to work till you die, literally.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the last 10 months in Hong Kong was kind of fun. I taught some yoga because I took a teacher training like 5 years ago and never got to use it. So I'm a hippie now. I teach yoga. I take yoga. I learned to crochet. I cooked a lot.
So
I'm
good.
Such a hippie. Leaned into the slow life, which
so good
I think yoga. Like it was hard for me to reconcile as someone who's always been go, go, go. I was like, what is my life?
Yeah.
My parents are like, you don't go out. And I was like, honestly, like even now, right now I'm home in Singapore, like going out gives me a bit of anxiety, like being around people, seeing people who don't know how to wear a mask, seeing people touch a lot of things, like, I mean, it's just, it's not worth it for me right now still. I don't miss the outside that much. I miss my family and now I have them, so it's great. I don't expect you to be my stalker, but pretty much Hong Kong, Singapore, Shanghai, they're all pretty close to each other. It's not that expensive to travel between these cities. So I've seen my family, you know, if not once a month, like at least once every 2 months. And then going 10 months without seeing them was incredibly hard.
Especially in the midst of all of this, though, like it's not even just not seeing them. It's you're not seeing them in the midst of like a global pandemic where you're isolated. You've just like literally, I know people without knowing you, I don't think they realize how big of a shift like you changing your career like trajectory was. Like that's a huge, impressive.
But that's what they say is the biggest, you know, like the big stresses of life are like moving our house, like changing your jobs, like being away from your family, like
all of them at the same time, and you're isolated and like it's trapped in
Hong Kong. It's funny because I think that I feel very lucky to be actually truly like predisposed to being alone. Like, honestly, in the last year, the only time I've really felt like true, like we're not saying like just anxiety, like uncontrolled panic attack incoming was that one time where I thought I'd have to be shackled. And other than that, I've been very grateful for all the years of therapy.
Seriously.
That have given me a lot of clarity in 2020. Because I mean, I think looking back, it was shitty not to see my family, but I never sat down and like cried about it. I like FaceTimed my family. There was a lot of like, we had like at one point when Singapore was on true lockdown, we had like family Zoom chats every weekend because even my family within Singapore couldn't see each other. And that was a big thing for them.
Well, especially,
I mean, like even for you. Right? Yeah. And my sister moved in with my parents during lockdown so that at least like they could help. The like the baby was like a month old. And I mean, it was my niece was like a month old. Right. So like, and if you can have help when your baby's 1 month, 2 months old, like why not? But it was hard, right? Like it was hard to see my family. Like, you know, we haven't lived together since I was 13. So living together, I think was hard on my sister.
That would be a big transition. And then in the midst of like all the postpartum stuff.
I mean, it's hard, right? Because it's like there's no right choice in life anymore. It's like, you know, my sister would have been fine. Like babies grow up without their grandparents next to them all the time. Mm-hmm. She could have done it, but you know, you choose, you make a choice and you live with it. It's not like easier or harder either way. You just kind of, you know, each choice comes with this challenge and you work with it. So kudos to my sister.
So
we're doing that.
Where are you sitting?
I'm in my dad's man cave.
Your dad's man cave in Singapore. Room.
Yeah. So Singapore, I mean, throughout the 10 months, like there was always a way to enter Singapore because my mom is Singaporean and I'm literally her flesh and blood. So you could come in through what they call like a family ties lane. Which is a special request. And I never really wanted to do it because, I mean, not that there wasn't a reason, but there wasn't a reason, right? Like traveling during the pandemic, like honestly, which sounds really sad, but the only people I knew who were traveling during this pandemic were like death in the family situations.
Yeah, so it just wasn't happening.
I just didn't feel like it was necessary, right? I was like, I'm endangering myself. I'm potentially endangering my parents, right? Like if I'm bringing COVID to Singapore, you don't know. Like even if I don't go out, like it's a global pandemic, right? It's not like a broken bone. You catch it and everyone's catching it, right? Yeah. Even though really it's not that serious in the sense, like compared to North America and Europe, it's very much controlled in Hong Kong and Singapore. But you know, it's still, I didn't run a chance at it. I was always, my goal was always to kind of try and hopefully come home for Christmas because Christmas is big in my family. Mm-hmm. We're not religious, but it's just always been the time where my dad's, you know, his works, all of the people who work could take time off and it's a public holiday and we just have a big Christmas feast with our families because we don't do Thanksgiving here, right?
Yeah.
Which is sad because
You probably miss Thanksgiving so much.
I used to go back for Thanksgiving because my aunt used to do Thanksgiving in Toronto and be like, turkey. Love cookie.
Hungry again. Thanks.
Sorry. My life is very food centric.
It is. I love watching your stuff. It makes me sad that I watch it while I'm like making chicken nuggets and like craft dinner for the kids. So I was like,
well, you know, if I could travel, I'm gonna live in your lovely basement apartment. Bigger than my house.
In my blue it's like a movie theater. But you know what it is? It's because it's an Asian couple who owned the house before us. So it's actually all of the stylings, all the ceilings are like the peachy color. So they painted all their ceilings as well.
Oh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
So I was like, huh, okay. It's just a very interesting, because I guess the mother lived in the, like they created the suite for the mother to live with them. I was like, oh, that's nice.
See? That's where I'm going to, I'm like literally everyone's weird single friend that like, they want to live with, because I will just cook for people and clean.
And you're just like,
but I feel like Jordan does that for you.
Yeah, Jordan's my nanny. He's your
Roomba.
He is. Yeah, it's lovely. It's really, really good. Because I don't do it at all. I'm not domestic. You know this about me.
That's fine. But your organization is amazing.
Thank you. No, actually, yes. Yeah. So for people who see any of like my pens or my organization stuff, that's mostly from Kaylee, because we also bonded school over like school supplies.
So much stationery,
like supplies and stationery now. And you would just like for years would just ship me amazing things from Hong Kong. I'm like, this is the best.
But now I only use erasable pens.
Oh my God. This is my new thing. Erasable pens too.
They're so good. They're like, so why would you use any other pen in life?
Can you hold it up slowly?
I think it must be the same
one. No, I don't have the same one, but it's close. I ordered mine on Amazon, but it's the only one I use, because then if I make a mistake, it doesn't give me anxiety.
Correct. But you know, also like heat, because you know, obviously it erases via heat, right? Friction. And no, if I you didn't. Ever... Science. I used to be a science major.
Me not so much.
But so I've done this where, like, because at work we were using these like a lot, and then we would like, you know, you, this is like pre-COVID, like take lunch break, and I like once put my hot lunch on like my calendar just because I didn't want to touch the table, and then everything disappeared. Don't worry, this has a good ending.
Okay, so much anxiety.
And then my colleague was like, put it in the freezer and everything comes back.
Okay, I'm doing you this. I'll tag you on Instagram. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
But it did. As in, it comes back a little lighter.
But it does. Doesn't back. Ruin your life.
No.
A little dramatic.
Because it was like...
No.
But it was my calendar, which had like all my schedule and flying on it. It was work, right? So I was like, oh, that was like, traumatic. Chuck it in the freezer. It was great. It was great. Yeah.
I'm so excited.
It's not magic, contrary to popular belief. Erasable pens are not magic, just science. I don't know what the science is of it coming back when cold, even though that's something I totally would Google.
This is what you're going to look to. You're going to figure this out tonight before you go to bed, and you're going to have your answer for me. I guarantee it.
Okay. I'll text you if I find out.
Oh my God. Okay. Sorry. COVID back.
I mean, when you said that this was going to be a freeform interview, and I was like, this is, we're not. No,
no, I know.
But that's more fun.
It is. And it's
way more fun.
It's so funny because when I try to set up the interviews with people, I often with a PR agency or whomever, and they really just want a list of questions to be able to ask them. Not happening. We'll just chat. But generally, like, people know they're topic experts, right? Like, you know your life better than
me. Obviously, well, I don't know.
Eloquent sentences, so it's fine.
I mean, that's debatable on a good day.
Well, now you're doing things about like conversation and training people and teaching people.
That's true. Counseling. But I mean, it's also if people, I mean, we talked about meeting in university, which is way, way, way long time ago.
Yeah, the math is
too long ago. Don't do that. But we haven't talked in forever. Like, we communicate.
Yeah,
we haven't talked face to face in forever.
Probably last
which I don't
in Toronto when you were,
God.
When I lived in Toronto and you were visiting family, and I was like, I'm going to go up to, where was it? Like Mississauga, where do your family live?
Scarborough.
Scarborough.
The other end. Yeah.
And at that point, to leave downtown to go to Scarborough was like a big deal.
Adventure time.
Adventure time.
But also, I want to say both of us are still in school, so that was still university.
That feels like a different lifetime ago that way.
Also, I saw this. I feel like you'll appreciate this. One of my friends posted, it was clearly TikTok, but I don't have TikTok because it's banned in Hong Kong. It's banned in Hong Kong, so I can't see it, but now I can. But anyway, she posts them sometimes on her Insta stories. And it was literally this guy getting carded. And the guy carding him, did you see, was like, it's fine, I can see the one on your birth year. And I was like, and this is obviously a very like American thing, right? Because it's not 21 in Canada or in Asia where I live.
Oh, so it would be even,
but like it's even younger. But now it's like everyone who has a one in front of their like ID, like was born in a 1 year,
isn't a US,
everyone is legal.
Legal
everywhere in the world, right? Because I don't think, I think the US has like, I mean, 21 I think is like the oldest in the world.
That's insane. Yeah, that's, yeah, I don't know, it feels like, you know, I think
it hurts me a little bit.
Anything I think before pre-COVID to me now feels just like a completely different world. Like I feel like we're now being conditioned to do things in a certain way, and like if I look at my kids, they don't go near other kids anymore if we're out and about. Like we've just, like we're physically, I think, starting to be rewired to operate in a different way. Like, do you find that?
No, I don't really think so.
Mind you, you
I don't think go out a there. Little bit less. No, I don't go out. I've rewired myself. I mean, I exploded my life and reconfigured it in a totally different way. So in my own way, yes. But I think like for people here, so I guess if people don't know, whether Hong Kong or Singapore, like Hong Kong, when I left Hong Kong was like the fourth wave, which, you know, people were like, oh my God. I was like, Hong Kong has had, I think, and I'm probably wrong because I didn't do my research on this. I thought about it, but didn't do it. We're at like 7,000 cases in total with a population of like 8-9 million people.
Yeah, that's nothing relative.
It's very little. I think the concern is, well, number one, people are still quite paranoid from, you know, 03 SARS. But mm-hmm. also because in Hong Kong, people live in such close quarters. So what happens now is that like, and this is what happened at SARS, is that the virus like literally travels through the pipes because you, mm-hmm. you literally live so close to someone else. And that's the concern, but we're still talking like they've shut a lot of things down in Hong Kong, including schools now, but we're at like 30 cases a day. In Singapore, and so Hong Kong's cases are 30-40 and they're quite local, so they're not imported. Singapore has a very strict, so what's very different about Singapore is that Singapore got hit by a huge first wave. So I don't think this is unlike a lot of like more developed cities or countries where there's a lot of big migrant population and a big migrant worker population. But the thing that's a bit more unique to Singapore is that the migrant worker population is very concentrated in like either domestic help or like construction work. So like physical, like buildings and stuff. Clearly I know lots about construction, yeah. Building the buildings. But it means, and what happened in like March and April, May is when Singapore went to lockdown, is that it hit, and these migrant workers live in dorms. That, you know, is a whole human rights issue that people talked about because it's, you know, there's 16 people to a room. It's spaced, but, you know, you're on bunk beds, you're in close quarters. Mm-hmm. And that skyrocketed. So, like, Singapore's in total had, like, 50,000 cases or 60 even. But there have been, like, 12 deaths. Something ridiculously low because the population that got sick was disproportionately, like, middle-aged, like, young, middle-aged, able-bodied males.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But because Singapore had like a huge explosion in numbers, they had time to kind of fine tune their policies. So tying it back to me traveling back to Singapore for Christmas was a bit of a shit show. Oh, wait, we're not supposed to swear.
No, it's fine.
I was listening to your first episode.
I'm trying not to. You know what it is? Is because every time, specifically on stories, every time I swear, then I ultimately get like a direct message of someone being like, well, my kid's around, you shouldn't swear. I'm like, so I'm trying really hard not to, but it's hard because it's not my norm.
I know. And I think it depends. Like, everyone needs to be, like, it's a balance, right? Like, you're not swearing every other word sometimes. Yeah. And your kids are going to learn to swear even though they shouldn't when they're four. But it's
this
about
is a big debate with Jordan and I right now.
I want to take a quick minute for this season's podcast sponsor, Bathorium. I was so excited when they agreed to sign up to be this season's podcast sponsor because I have been a huge fan since COVID started. And even more interestingly, I wasn't a bath fan before I started using their products. I didn't like the idea of having to sit still and take a bath. And now through COVID, it is the only time that I can and only way that I find I'm able to decompress and take a moment to myself. My favorite are the bath soaks. They're so, so wonderful. And I get out feeling smooth and relaxed and amazing. And they've decided to give you guys 15% off on everything on their website. All you need to do to get the code and get access to that discount is go to mumbreak.ca/bath. I'm super excited to support this Canadian company who make all of their vegan and ethically produced products in Canada. I even love talking to the marketing manager, who's an Ottawa mom, who is a wonderful human being. So super excited about this podcast sponsor. Go check out their stuff, mumbreak.ca/bath, to get 15% off.
So coming to Singapore, so both countries, both cities had it fairly under control. And what's pretty unique about Hong Kong and Singapore, for better or for worse, is that like they're pretty much their cities and that's all. Like, so Singapore is a city, state, country. It takes half an hour, 45 minutes to drive from the entire country, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Hong Kong's connected to China, but we're not going to go into the politics of whatever, but they're different countries, but they're not this different country. It's a special administrative region. Let's be politically correct here.
Okay.
So like you have to cross the border into China as if you were traveling from abroad, right? So it's not like you can enter the country that easily. So Hong Kong and Singapore are major hubs. They're major travel hubs. They're major tourist hubs. And both countries are in pretty dire states in terms of like the economy without any tourism. So both governments, like we're talking about, like they started in July having talks about opening what they've been calling a travel bubble, where as long as you test, you have to do a COVID test before you leave your country. And then when you land, you have to take another COVID test. And before you go home, you take another COVID test, but that negates the need to do any kind of quarantine. So it's encouraged travel.
Mm-hmm.
And because it's not, I mean, obviously enforced very strictly, like you can't have gone anywhere else before, like you have to have been in either Singapore and Hong Kong for the 14 days leading up to your travel. So that was kind of like the golden ticket that I was hoping to be able to come see my family. Mm-hmm. I mean, not that quarantining was that big of a deal, excuse me, but for me to quarantine in Singapore, like I would have to pay for the quarantine stay in a hotel, which is 2,000 Sing dollars, which is not roughly one-to-one, but like for the sake of not doing any math, like one-to-one. Mm-hmm. It's not bad. Like in Singapore, it's like you get put up in like a 4-star to 5-star hotel and your 3 meals are counted for. And it's very comfortable by all means, but you know, it's money. Money is money.
And it's also not your home as well, right? Like it's the comfort of your own space. And it's
correct. Money. And you know, it's a hotel room with, you know, you can't open your windows. There's no fresh air. It's not easy for most people.
Mm-hmm.
I would say it's not easy for even like me, who's like fairly mentally well adjusted now, or you know, loves being alone. But the thing was that the travel bubble was great, so I could, you know, get a Q-tip stuck into my brain, but at least I could go home.
Mm-hmm.
And then like 2 weeks before I flew, that kind of burst and I couldn't go via the bubble, so we had to think of a different way. And at that point, because cases were still quite low, the law and regulation was that I was allowed to quarantine at home, I'd had to prove that like I wasn't sharing a room with like a family member, and like mm-hmm. I had access to like my own bathroom and my family would leave me food outside my door kind of thing. And I'd only have to do it for 7 days. And that was great too, because I was like, I'll be at home, I'll be stuck in my room, but my room here in Singapore is like, it's not huge, but I have a balcony. like a small balcony. So like I'd have fresh air, right? Which is like more than my entire home in Hong Kong. My entire home in Hong Kong has no balcony, so no fresh air. I mean, I could open a window. It's not the same as like stepping into, like stepping out of a room. And so I was like, also like, I was a little bummed, but it really wasn't a big deal. And then literally because it was 2020, 48 hours before I flew, they changed the law again. And it was like, now you have to do a hotel quarantine for 14 days. And now you have to pay. And you have 12 hours to decide. If not, your approval will be revoked, because I had to apply to come visit my family now, because the bubble was closed and they weren't accepting foreign visitors. And it was very stressful for my entire family. And I was very stressed about my mental health, because I mean, in general, I worry about my mental health, but anyone being faced like with like, you have 12 hours to make the decision that you didn't know you needed to make, is just in any normal, no COVID situation is stressful. And so, and you know, I mean, it was very, and it seemed a little trivial to be like, oh, well, you know, if I do this, I'll be alone at Christmas. I'll be in quarantine at Christmas. And, you know, obviously like Christmas is just a day. And like, we did make up Christmas, you know, spoiler alert, I made it home. So obviously I chose to do it. But I think it's in this time of COVID, there's so much uncertainty that like anyone, and if you can, you just want to hold on to things that you can be certain of. Mm-hmm. And so there was a huge part of me that was like, if I stay in Hong Kong, yes, I'll be alone at Christmas too, but I'll have like, quote unquote, my freedom, right? Like I can go outside. I can meet a friend for Christmas. Obviously, like, let's not be like, I was never going to throw a rager at my house. Like, it's not like I was going to party, but you know, I was like, there's a difference. Like you said, there's a difference being confined to a space and like choosing to confine yourself to a space. And it was, I mean, had the brains to like book in a therapy appointment before I flew. So I was like very prepared. But yeah, I ended up doing it. It was also very surreal. The airport in Hong Kong was, I mean, I was now like a pro, right? Second time flying during COVID. I was like, okay, no empty airport. But even the crew, like on the plane, they were like, oh, this morning we had 10 passengers in your section. And then when people started checking in, it was like 5. And then people started just like, she was like, you're the only one. You're the only one in this part of the plane. I had the entire plane to myself.
Yeah, that's insane to me. Yeah,
well, like that section of it.
That section. But still, even like you panned on stories and you just showed like this empty plane.
I know,
even it's as crazy. Me not being there, it was so surreal that this is.
It's so surreal because there were like 30 people maybe on the plane. Immigration was super fast in Singapore, and you would have hated this as just as much as I did. So in Singapore, it's, I mean, there's no perfect government, whatever, but I think what Singapore has done in this aspect has been quite smart, because Hong Kong, you have to test negative at the airport and you literally sit at the airport for hours, like 6 hours, like no joke. You just sit at the table until you just get like a negative test.
Results.
And then you go into the hotel and you have to quarantine at the hotel. Whereas in Singapore, I mean, everyone has a different rule, right? It's not better or worse. But what Singapore does is they just want to minimize your contact with anybody. So you go through immigration, you get your luggage, they whisk you on a bus. And there's, you know, like a tour travel kind of bus, like a school bus, but not yellow school bus kind of thing. And there are, when I got on the bus, it was like 10 people per bus. So like there, no one's close to you at all. Mm-hmm. And then my cousin who flew back literally a week after me, he was like, there are 5 people on a bus. We're not going to talk about greenhouse gases and the detrimental things to the environment for 5 people on a big bus.
Or but one person in section of a plane.
I know.
Anyway. But, we'll do it in 2022.
So I know, right? So the thing about Singapore is that you're guaranteed a hotel room. You're not guaranteed where. You can't choose where you want to go. It's a flat rate. You just, and it's random, right? Oh. So much anxiety. It's like, stressful. I will never experience, well, I can't say never. It's still COVID, so you never say never. But I have never gone on a vehicle.
And not know where you're going.
I had no idea where I was going. Thank goodness Singapore is a tiny ass island. So like at most you're traveling for half an hour, right? Like, so uncertainty only lasts half an hour. And so finally got to my hotel, was a little panicky about it all. I was still adjusting to the idea of having to be in quarantine for 14 days, right? Having 48 hours before that, not having had to do it, right? So it was a lot of, you know, people are not flexible. No. Least of all me.
No, no, we're not innately built to be flexible.
No, because stability is part of what we want in life. And so, yeah, I did 14 days. So quarantine number three. And looking forward to another one at some point. But Hong Kong now has this insane quarantine policy where it's 21 days and it has to be in a hotel. Like,
so you're never
like in six. Oh God, I don't know, but I'm a visitor here. The government can kick me out when they want, right? So, I mean, in Singapore, understand, right? Like if they were like, you can't quarantine at home, you, and there was like, there was a sidebar where you could quarantine at home if you can prove, like if you're the only one in the house. Mm-hmm. So like at one point my parents were like, we'll leave the house. You can have the whole house to yourself. And I was like, no, no thanks. Cause my mother is, just like me, and if I didn't clean the house every single day and she came back to it 14 days later, I would be
not worth it. Yeah, it's just not worth
no.
it.
No. So I mean, but Hong Kong now, like there's literally not even like not even a little bit of leeway. And I live alone in Hong Kong, so I'd be very safe.
Yeah.
But it's 21 days and the Hong Kong government has subsidized, but not subsidized. So you're paying a hotel rate. So like you're paying the daily rate of a hotel. Mm-hmm. For 21 days. Yeah. And like as much as we've talked about leaning into money and privilege, like it's a lot of money.
Yeah, for 21 days in a hotel.
It's a lot of money where in a situation where I could be isolated at home for zero money.
Yeah.
Right? Good, like in, like cuz in Singapore, yeah, cuz in Singapore you can opt out, right? It's like it makes sense. And I will say that my experience in Singapore was very positive. Whoever trained like all the frontline staff in terms of not like healthcare, right? But like the people who I'm dealing with at the hotel, the people who are corralling me onto the bus were all very kind. Looking back, because I don't think I have a couple of friends in quarantine in Hong Kong right now, and it's not been the case in Hong Kong where there's just a lot less focus on mental health. And like, I mean, quarantine for 21 days is just, it's a different monster. Yeah. And Hong Kong hotel rooms are notoriously small. It like fits a bed. That's all. All the space you get.
Oh, yeah. It would be like, I wouldn't be able to, I know myself and I don't think I would be able to do that.
I think for people like you and me who, you know, like you said, million hours of therapy under your belt, like, have better tools in your tool belt, but doesn't make it easier.
Yeah, that's true. Cause I actually, it's funny you mentioned that, and you mentioned it earlier too, because I think of this often. I'm like, thank freaking God I've been to so many hours of therapy, because it's quite literally, it's like, okay, time to bring out like my mood tools and my thought journals and let's go back to cognitive behavioral therapy, because I don't know how else to deal with this. But if it's someone's first exposure, like imagine doing therapy for the very first time and be like, hey, virtual stranger online. Mm-hmm. I'm struggling, but I think the problem with therapy where I struggle the most now, again, a tangent, but is that knowing that the therapist is going through almost the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard for me to process. Empathetic.
But therapists are
the problem. I know. And I think this is the same with all the pandemic and all the struggling and all the, I'm like really struggling with other people's feelings and emotions more than my own at this point. And
you have a lot of feelings. Really,
yeah, for other people. I feel so bad for the world.
I mean, so do I. But I also like, if you don't take care of you, like you're at the end of the day, you're the one that is the most important to you, right? Like you're not the most important in the world, but you're the most important to you.
And thanks, therapy, Kaylee.
Your children. No, but sometimes you just have to hear it. Like you know it, but you gotta hear it in words
I know
spoken at you by someone else. But no, I mean, I had like a super casual conversation with a friend. We were literally walking on the street after yoga class one day, and she was just like, you know, like people who've had anxiety pre-COVID are just so lucky.
It's so true.
Because I've talked to a lot of people who who had like their first experiences of with panic attacks and first experiences of high level of stress has happened in quarantine for people. And that is terrifying. Like, because I mean, we've talked about this. You and I both struggled aggressively with mental health when we were younger. And like, debilitating panic attacks were part of my life at one point, where just, you know, like it's surreal, right? Like you're not, you're in your own body, but like having that and not being able to escape, being sealed up in a room, literally, like, again, like, yes, this is all from a place of like first world privilege, and like we're lucky to be able to be in quarantine and have the privilege of quarantine, and that's not lost on me, but it's still hard. Like, it's hard to be human, it's hard to be alone, it's hard, it's just, it's crazy. COVID is nuts. I mean, I don't understand. Like, I mean, this is my biggest gripe, because I have so many friends and family still in North America, whether it be it like America or Canada, and like they're going through so much, and it's so tough, and it's so hard to see other people like think that this is a conspiracy.
Yeah, I struggle with that too. And then my brain, and I think it's interesting for me, because my brain throughout all of this, regardless if it's political, media, science, like whatever it is, my brain, the way I process it is from like a media comms marketing perspective.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I know. It's so, I don't even want to give specific examples because whatever. Well, okay. As an example, just Trump right now, again, this is going to be aired like way longer than, so this is like long old news now, but like Trump just as of this moment in time has just been like basically banned from all online platforms. So I don't think
there've been some great memes.
The memes are hilarious. But I think of it from the implications from like a media and a comms perspective. Like I think as someone wanting to get their message out, being cut off at the knees with all of these things is so cool. And then my brain instantly go, well, it's so cool. Like a positive yay. Like, let's get rid of it in a way.
Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like I'm not being clear, but I think of it from like, this is insane from a PR media comms perspective as the people
from a business perspective,
Yeah. I'm like, it's interesting that all of these decisions and things online, that's how my brain thinks about it. I think of it like from a, oh my goodness, how did this person put out this comms message? Or how did the person, you know, another one, I just actually had someone on the podcast who was talking about this. I don't know if the news made it to you, but there was Air Canada was running influencer marketing campaigns, trying to promote people to travel right now in like the midst of like our second lockdown in Ontario. And my brain goes, okay, how does an entire marketing team sit around a table or a virtual table and decide that this is something that's okay? Like, that's where my brain goes.
Oh, well, but I think that's totally normal. It's perfectly normal because that's your expertise, right? Because at the beginning, like, you know, I can't erase the 10 years I spent in fashion, like, you know, trying to sell essentially ice to Eskimos, right? But like, I have a very large wardrobe full of clothes that I didn't even touch for 365 days. And like how people consume, like totally consume has changed, but also like in like that small world that I used to live in, like, I mean, I'm really glad I'm not in it anymore because I can't imagine business doing well. But at the same time, in some places it is because people still want to escape. And if they can't travel, then they shop, right? Yeah. It's really interesting. Like, I mean, I think that's totally how people see it. Like, you see the world through your own expertise, right? Whether you're in marketing, PR, in fashion, in retail, or, you know, my hopefully new expertise, counseling.
You're going to be such a good counselor. I already feel better.
I hope so. It's a lot of work. I forgot school is a lot of work. No,
so next level writing school, an essay. You're not just doing like intro survey classes anymore, right?
I haven't written an essay in so long.
You know, I just write like, short what Instagram is posts.
Academic. I know. I was like, what is, and like APA. Professors were like, oh, like APA and academic language. And I was like,
cite your source.
What is that?
Good.
Don't plagiarize. And yeah. I'm just like, I think I'm plagiarizing everything. I don't know. Like,
because there's really no original thought anymore with the internet. I feel like it's like,
no.
Oh God. I should have asked you this before we did this interview. Is your Instagram profile private or public?
No, it's public.
Okay, perfect. Okay.
I'm just not very exciting. I don't post. I just story.
No, but I like to ask everyone where they can go hunt you down at the end.
Yeah, you can hunt me down. I'm always open to friends. I actually particularly enjoy friends who I don't have any pressure to see in person.
So good.
A ton of Instagram friends that I talk to, like, almost maybe on a daily basis.
Really?
But like... don't have to see because they live not in the country I live in.
I love
but I mean, like, my closest friends also know that even if
they'll just text you,
they'll never see me.
No. They know how to pull you out of your bubble if they need to.
Yeah, yeah. And I leave my house and I see people, but I think I really learned how truly, truly introverted I am, because I gain absolutely no energy from being around people. And I enjoy it. Like, I enjoy being around my friends, I enjoy talking to my friends and meeting new people, and I have skills to do it, mm-hmm. but it doesn't energize me the way it does like an extrovert, right? So like, I need so much downtime after I've been outside of my comfort zone. So like for me, like, which unfortunately you don't get to partake in, I prefer to invite people into my space, right? Because it's mm-hmm. like the energy needed is like slightly less. But yeah. But like, you know, this is super fun because this is in both our comfort zones. And if things get rough, we just shut it off. But no, I have like a lot of energy to speak to people on computers and on Instagram and have long conversations. But also like a lot of people I know follow you, by the way.
Really?
You gotta pay me like in a whatever fee that people talk about, like...
Oh, my affiliate. You're my affiliate person.
Yes, I'm your affiliate. Okay. Yeah.
Wait, I'll pay you in the Canadian sister, things I promote that you want.
Yes. My sister sent me, I think my sister sent me one of your posts one day. I mean, she knows you're my friend, but oh, I was okay. Like, because I love my sister dearly, but somehow, so I was on a team with like 9 women who are slightly older than me. So at one point in 1 year, there were 3 babies that were born at one point, like a couple of years ago. And I just, and like, you are a big celebrity in my eyes. Oh, and I have a couple of other friends who have babies in Canada. And so, and I'm just like a very curious person. Like, I don't necessarily, like, I'm not a big children person, which is like ironic that I'm on a mom break podcast. I like them enough, not enough to have my own. I don't think
you'd be like a really awesome aunt.
Yeah, I am the really awesome aunt. I'm like, this is great. Like, I play and I return.
It's perfect. Thanks. That's how I used to be for a really, really long time. And then somehow, I don't know, I ended up here.
You know, life never goes according to plan. So, no. You know, one day you'll never know. I never say never, but yeah, I mean, like, but I'm always interested. I like think it's really interesting the way that people raise kids now too, because, you know, like in our parents' generation, regardless of where they live, there was more of like a one size fits all situation. Whereas now, like for better or for worse, and again, you talked about this with social media, and I've thought about this too, because, you know, even though we haven't talked in like 10 years, we're psychic. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like I choose to use my social media for things, and I use it to things that make me happy, right? I follow a lot of dogs on Instagram. They make me so happy. And then like, I love listening. I love reading what you talk about, because even though that's like very not applicable to my life, I think it's very interesting the choices you make and how you decided to live your life.
Mm-hmm. Your brain is like that research. Scientific, like why, and like,
yeah, yeah. The I love why
side of it.
Like, why is the respirable ink coming back in cold temperatures?
Oh, I need God, to know I forgot this about now. That.
It's not, I'm not going to, because I'm going to go Google this when we're done talking. You know, yeah. And I have, you know, like I have a friend in Toronto who also has a energetic child. Very that's energetic.
Such a nice
child.
Way of saying it. I love it.
And she's adorable. I mean, just like Aubrey's like so adorable when she's like just this small, like
yeah.
It's my phone. but I told her, I was like, go follow my friend Erica, and she follows you and she loves you.
Yes, you're my pimp. This is what you are. You're not even my affiliate person, you're my pimp. Thank you. Yeah. You're on a podcast.
Pay me now.
I can't see you.
Oh,
she's
I know.
Doing peace signs at people. I'm like, really no, they can't.
Cool. I'm so cool. But I mean, and you know, I have other friends who talk about their parenting styles, like whether or not they're, you know, mom bloggers or not. And I just think, I mean, you know, it's a lot of information. I feel like sometimes my sister feels inundated with it. I feel like I would too if I was a mom, because I think it's a different, like for me as an individual, very selfish, like my world is just me. It's very easy to be like, ooh, information, let me read more. But I think like, and I've observed my sister over the last, her kid is 11 months old now.
What?
Is that, I know, so fast. She's turning a year. She's turning one in like a couple of weeks. I know, right? Mm-hmm. She's going to be one. She's going to be walking. God, terrifying. But, you know, like I've seen it be really hard on her because of, you know, everyone's personality is different. My sister wants to take everyone. She's a very giving and open person. She wants to take everyone's opinion and everyone's advice. And she's open to that. But then it's like, it's so much, right? Like, everyone has something to say. When you Google one problem on the internet, there's like five different reasons. Oh my God, your baby has cancer. Like, seriously, like, you know, it's better. It's good and bad. It's just, I think, so much harder as a parent to filter out that. Cause I think if, like, even for you, right? Like, if you're just choosing for you, it's very easy to filter out, like, oh, this is good for me, this is not good for me. Because for now until, you know, your kid is 18, you're advocating for them, right? Like you're their advocate. And I think that never goes away, no matter, you know, year 3000, whatever. But I think choosing what you collect and then filter it onto them, like that is so much harder.
I never thought of it that way. I honestly didn't. And it's a really good point, because it feels like some days you're just like drinking from a fire hose, especially now. Now it's like you have to be concerned about all the things in the world as a parent. And it's just like, you can't, right? Like, how do you filter that down to what you can physically and mentally consume without exploding?
Like execute.
Yeah. Cause you can't, you physically can't execute all the things that are working, that are going on in the world right now. Like it's not.
No. Kids are not robots, right? It's like, so this semester in school we're doing, as I showed you my textbook, counseling for children and young people. We had our first class like last Saturday, and the teacher was like, oh, like let me set you some like casual homework. It wasn't really homework. She's like, go talk to a young person, see what it's like. And so the only young person I know who speaks, because my niece, despite, you know, my parents think she's a genius,
she's only 11 months.
She does not speak. She's 11 months. The words she knows are duck, duck, and dada, and mama. And
I mean, pretty good for an 11-month-year-old, so whatever.
I mean, I think she's, you know, it's they're doing the thing which they did to me, which speak to her in two languages, so she's going to be a little slower, which is fine. It's going to benefit her in the long run. But so my cousin has a daughter that's 6, so she just started first grade, like, this week. The school system in Singapore runs Jan to December, like just a year, like the beginning of the year and the end of the year, which makes so much sense.
Why did we do September? That's so weird. Oh, I guess.
But the rest of the world does that too, though.
January just calendar year makes so much sense.
It's right. So you go to school in Jan, you take a break in March, you have summer break, in June, and then you go back to school, and then you have a break in September. Like, so like you could be a Thanksgiving break, and then you get Christmas off for a little bit, and then you go back to school in January. Like,
it makes, yeah, duh.
Yeah. Anyway, it makes a lot of sense. But so she just started first grade, and I went to her house 2 days ago, just hang out, and was like just trying to talk to her. I had these grand plans to have like deep, meaningful conversation about first grade with her. Like, did you make friends? Did you like it? How is it different from kindergarten? Of course not. We've played My Little Pony. And like she told me about all her ponies. And anytime I talked about school, she was like, yeah, it's fine. And I was like, cool.
Yep, that sounds the right way. As Aubrey is piling in to tell me, she walks into the room, she's like, mommy, I'm mad at you. Why are you mad at me? Okay. You want to watch YouTube? Sure. You can watch it for 5 minutes. So Kaylee, if people want to come find videos of you cooking and well, maybe not so much traveling anymore.
No more traveling.
No more traveling. Those are my like things that I live the most vicariously. As much as I love the cooking, it's like just kind of a big tease for me because I can't do it. And it's like,
you can't eat it. I can't send it to you. I'm sorry. I would love to.
What's your, I mean, I know your Instagram, but you tell people about your Instagram.
It's very, I feel embarrassed for my Instagram account now because my Instagram handle is made of my initials. And if you look at them, they kind of look like a swear word, which I never knew because this is how, like I started this handle when I was like 14 and didn't know what swear words were.
Wait, what swear word does it look like?
It kind of looks like fuck it in like lowercase.
Oh yeah, it does.
Right? Because it's FKLT, which are my full initials, but in lowercase, I'm sorry, podcast world. It is what it is. My Instagram account is public. I am not a public figure. Don't at me.
FKLT.
LT is how you can find me.
Just pulled onto a random mom blogging podcast. There you go.
Yeah.
I like doing
it. But I was so excited. This is like I'm never going to get asked to be on a podcast again, probably. So I'm super excited for this. I was so excited for this. I told my mom, I was like, I'm going to be busy at 10 o'clock, 10:30, because I'm going to be on my friend's podcast. And she's like, what's the podcast?
Oh, so good.
Doesn't matter. It's really important.
It's a kind of a big deal. Like hundreds of people will listen to it.
Exactly. I'm going to be like, I was on a podcast. I'm famous
now. For
moms
in mostly North America. Woo.
No. Didn't you interview someone from India?
No, it is more global now. Oh, she's lovely. Yeah. Oh, she's lovely. Yeah. Her podcast.
Wait,
there's two. I interviewed one woman. She's actually in Chicago, I think, or I don't know, specifically Illinois. Anyways, I don't know. Chicago, whatever. Chicago. But I just talked to her about being sick. And just the religion, Sikh religion, which I said Sikh for the longest time. So I learned something new at the very beginning of the episode, which is embarrassing.
Mm. No, it's not.
It's. I think the one thing I've taken from all of this is how little I know about the world. I'm like, okay, I need to know more. About
but it. I but mean, it's hard because your own world is a lot.
Thank you, Therapy Kaylee.
Thank you. You're welcome. Anytime. I mean, I watch your stories, right, religiously, and I sometimes need to, like, take a step back and be like, oh my god, I need a break. I need a break from your stories because it's a lot. I'm very tired for you, and I need to take a nap because I can, because I'm not a mom. But, no, because, wait, is she the one you went live with once?
And then I went, her account is Mummy something or other, but she's actually right in India. And so we talked about the differences in parenting and cultural differences in India versus Canada specifically, because it's really all that I can speak to. And it's so interesting, even just the reason why, because on the live, she's like, oh yeah, we have house helpers. And I was like, what's a house helper? She's like, they're just people who come over and do our laundry and it's totally normal.
Oh, I remember that.
All of our dinners. And I was like, I was so, in that moment, I was like, I know nothing about the world. I'm doing everything wrong. I was like, we gotta put away the fucking crock pot and I need to just get a house helper. But no, and then I was like, okay, yeah, I need to interview more people across the world. So I was like, I know one person in all of Asia. I hope that she's
India is technically Asia.
Oh, okay, yeah, sorry. Yeah, it's true.
People forget. Well, they should be their own continent. Well, they're so huge.
This is what I mean. Like, it's just such a massive space, but.
Well, I'm Asian and I live in Asia and I don't know anything about Asia. So, you know, mm-hmm. I watch Netflix sometimes to learn about it.
Yeah. That's interesting to know.
No, I mean, I have a friend in quarantine, in the 21 days quarantine in Hong Kong right now. And he's, I'm sorry if this is too much information, but he's like going through the trifecta of like shit. Like he lost his dad and is in isolation and lost his job while in quarantine.
That's
so super fucked up. But so he's doing this thing where he's, you know, 21 days well, 20 days, because, you know, you leave on the 21st. So he's like, 20 days, 20 chats. And he's just having 20 chats with anyone who wants to talk to him, which also is like very podcasty.
That's so smart.
But, you know, he's like an amazing human being. But, you know, we just chatted about, I know him through my sister. So it's not like we're super close friends. He's older. He has two young kids. Well, older kids. And just like, I personally, for me, like 2020 can be like really great, because, you know, it was shitty anyway for anyone. Like, it was shitty for, the baseline is shitty, right? Like, mm-hmm. The baseline of 2020 was not great. But like, what was really awesome for me in 2020 is because I wasn't flying all the time. I wasn't, you know, traveling, and I wasn't, you know, always on the go, which was my life for the last 10 years, is that I actually got to talk to a lot of people that I never usually talk to. So I have a friend in DC who I met at McGill back in the day, who I love. And, you know, she was a huge, you know, pillar of support when I was in school, but we'd never have the time to talk, because if she's at work, yeah, I'm asleep, you know, like if you were going to the office, we'd never get to chat at this time. Right. But because she was working from home, we could chat before she started work. Cause, you know, working from home is safe. It's just like, shuts me down and starts her office, right? And so we were chatting like once a week, and it was like, you know, long chats at the beginning because we haven't chatted in a while, and then we, you know, became just like weekly catch-ups. I like was Zooming my cousin and my aunt in Toronto, and my cousin, so my aunt's daughter is in Quebec City.
Okay.
Because she, my favorite story to tell is that she ran away to join the circus, which she actually tried to, so she went for circus school. And in the pandemic, like, you know, she was a server at a restaurant and like lost her job, not lost her, but, you know, had no job to go to do. And so because of our whole circus training was teaching like handstands online. So like twice a week, I would go exercise with her, like 10 o'clock my time at night. optimum time to like do vigorous exercise. But, you know, we would hang out an hour twice a week, and like I never get to talk to them that much, you know, on little things. Like I had cousins all around the world that we like stayed with regularly, and just things I would have never had time to do. And it's not that you didn't want to, but it's just, you know,
it's hard to prioritize.
I mean, I think like it's really funny because I don't think anyone would call me a glass half full person, and I'm definitely not, but COVID has really like, the whole year like really made me like very, 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 very grateful for like my family's health, the fact that we live in countries where people wear masks, like that my families who are not in those countries, or like the people I know, like my friends who I love, like you guys are all safe, and like all of that. And, you know, you can you have access to COVID tests, which thank God, you know, like the uncertainty I think would kill you.